Magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. It's Wednesday, February 21st, 2017, reading from Psalm 78. O my people, hear my teaching, listen to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in parables, I will utter hidden things, things from of old. What we have heard and know, what our fathers have told us, we will not hide them from our children. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, His power, and the wonders He has done. A portion of Psalm 78. And I share that, Jason, because this Friday we're going to have an Israel interest night. We're going to talk about some of the unique things about the land of Israel, the promises that God has made to the people of Israel, the unique aspects of how reading the scriptures and getting to know a little more about the land and some of the various facets of why these scriptures come alive when you understand maybe the Hebrew idiom or have some insight into some of the words. But you have talked many times about the importance of us passing down to our children the things that we've experienced or learned or know about the Lord, or when we got a nugget of truth out of His scriptures, how we've applied it into our lives, the importance of passing that on. And I think this Friday, some of our goal is to pass on some biblical truths, not just to encourage people to join us in October in Israel, but to know the importance of God's holy word, the scriptures, and the very land where so many of these, if not all of them, the historical events took place. So a little plug this Friday, we're meeting at 6:45 for an Israel interest night. Yes, we'll talk about our upcoming trip that'll happen in October, but it'll be more than just a plug for the trip. It's going to be some teaching. I asked you, like, what was a great way to announce it on the air so that people that can't go on the trip still might be interested in coming and learning?
Yeah, and come.
Come. just come.
What's
and
a great
out.
Way?
Yeah.
We invite you to come. You know, this is what I think I would say to people, is that even if you are unsure if you can, unsure if you will, come out and see. You know, sometimes you need to come and see in order to begin to understand if God is calling you to do that or not calling you to do that. And by the way, that I think is primary. When you're talking about a trip like this, this isn't like a trip to the beach where you're like, I am just so tired, I need to go just lay on the beach, or a trip to the mountains where you're like, I just need to stand in awe of kind of, you know, these huge monolithic things in nature, or I need to go see this site so I can understand better what happened historically. You know, a trip to Israel, we always say, is a pilgrimage of sorts. It is you going to the place that God divinely chose to come amongst, to walk in, you know, to lay His feet. I mean, we'll be in places where, you know, we can't say Jesus walked on this stone, but we can say Jesus walked in the area in which these stones were. And you can do that without fear of contradiction because the book tells us that, you know, like my kids sing, how do I know? The Bible tells me so. And so the Israel trip, and any Israel trip, is a pilgrimage of sorts. And so any pilgrimage requires prayer. It's not simply a vacation. It's not simply a journey. It is something that you are doing with God. And so the first thing you must do is partner with God in prayer to see if it is something that you should do. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, the invitation I would have on Friday night, 6:45, is to come and see. To come and say, you know, well, is this what? How's it going to go, and what's going to happen? And I really want to pray about this. I want to pray about the price. I want to pray about how many days it is and what it requires. You know, can I do the walking? Can I do all that is needed for me to experience all that God wants me to experience on this pilgrimage? And so, if you're on the fence, if you don't even have a fence yet, and you're just like, I don't know, it seems like, I don't know. Well, come out. I mean, you're not doing anything else on Friday, right? I mean, the Olympics ratings are in the tank, so you're not watching the Olympics. And Friday night, I mean, I think it's supposed to rain. I mean, I'm going to build a case for why maybe you should just come. Plus, Mark always has some food.
Yeah, there'll be some snacks. Holly was saying, should I do some hot pot? And I'm like, no, some simple snacks.
Her answer to everything is hot pot.
I know. The time of year where hot pot is the hot subject.
Did you tell her, in America, we don't have hot pot, we have Hot Pockets.
Yeah, Hot Pockets, chili.
Yeah, but yeah, I mean, come out on Friday night and just come and see. What I want to do is just do a short little presentation where I'm going to marry history with the Bible, with Judaism, kind of show you how all those things will come together when you go to the land of Israel. And we're going to do that in a very interactive way. I'm going to have you use your hands for something, and we're going to have some pictures. We're going to have a way for you to understand what's going on there in Israel and what you'll experience, just a little taste of what you'll experience. But a lot of what we're looking for this year, our theme for this year, mm-hmm. is that moment where Elisha is in the cave, and outside the cave there is an earthquake, and there is fire, and there is a mighty wind. And in none of those things does Elijah hear the voice of God. And then all of a sudden, Elijah comes to the mouth of the cave, and he hears the faint, gentle whisper of the Lord. And so for many of us, we look for God in the big, huge things. We look for God in like the momentous moments of our life. And we pay little or no attention to the whispers that God is speaking to us in. And what does God whisper to Elijah? He says, "Why are you here?" Mm-hmm. And that is the core of what we want you to begin to pray and ask yourself is, why am I going to go there? Why, when I stand in the land of Israel, when I stand there, how am I going to ask God, why am I here?
Yeah.
I'm just going to tell you, it's a bag of cats. When you ask God, you know, why am I here? He's going to answer.
Yeah.
And he will answer in a way that may be emotional, that may be profound, that may be groundbreaking for you, that may drive you to your knees or make you worship and praise. He may do all of that at once. You just don't know what God is up to and what
God's
going
to do. And it'll probably surprise you.
Oh, it'll definitely surprise you, because it'll be something that, listen, I believe this. When you come from, you know, where we are here and you go to Israel, you are in the perfect position for God to do something. Now, it's not that God can do something more powerful on an Israel trip than he can do right now in your living room as you're listening to this, or in your car as you're listening to this. But you are perfectly positioned because you are jet lagged. You are slightly tired. You are in a foreign place where you are no longer king of your castle. You are reliant upon a whole lot of things to help you navigate through your day. And so all of your defenses are down. And in that moment, I think that, I know, because I've experienced it myself, you begin to, by the nature of what's happening, trust in the strength of the Lord in a way that you haven't maybe done today in where you are, where you feel in control. Because over there, you don't feel in control. And so all of a sudden, you're like, "Wow, Lord." And he's like, "Oh, watch this, Holy Spirit." Boom. You know, and all of a sudden, he reveals himself. But I really, my hope is that we'll get over there. And we will have times of morning and evening devotionals. We'll have times where we're really going to explore that question. Why are you here? And one of the things that I really want to do this time, most of the time we go, we do the morning devotionals, we do the evening devotionals, and I kind of lead and guide that, and I probably do most of the talking. Really what I want to do this time is I want to hear from folks who are on the trip. Why are you here? I want to hear testimonies. I really want to stop during the middle of the day for a moment, you know, while we're eating a falafel sandwich, and say, can somebody share why they're here? So that we keep pounding that nail, why are we here? Because I believe that by the nature of this pilgrimage, every answer will keep bringing us back to God. Why are you here? Well, I'm here because that, 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 that. Would you see the Lord in that? I do. That's why you're here.
Yeah. And I think what you're saying also is the distractions are minimized. I mean, they can be there and be focused because they don't right. have their job responsibilities. They can't do anything about them for the most part.
Yeah.
Or they don't have the children screaming or demanding or needing something that they have to attend to. I mean, they're in our group, and basically it's like, when do I eat? When's the bathroom break?
Yeah.
There's some simple things that they just need to know, and other than that, they can be kind of a captive audience or in tune to what God's leading or teaching or presenting, because they're right there, and there's a minimal amount of distractions.
Well, just think about this. How many of you listening right now are maybe in a difficult relationship? You know, we're a relationship where you're struggling. Or how many of you are working a job that you're just wondering, am I even useful here? Because I'm not happy.
Mm-hmm.
How many of you are invested and involved in something that you just feel like you're struggling in? And wouldn't it be life-changing? Now, I'm really making a stretch here to make this connection, although I really don't think I am. What would it be like if you went away for 10 days somewhere where you focused on asking God the single question, why am I here, and then brought back that culture of the heart to the places where you're struggling with that right now? You came back to your job and you suddenly began to ask God, you know, well, when I was in Israel, I learned to ask God, why am I here? And today now you're asking God, why am I here? And he's showing you why you're in that job that you think you're of no benefit or no good and you're unhappy in, but he has you there for a reason. Or in the relationship, or wherever it is, or whatever you're doing, we need to begin to ask God, why am I here? But you may need to, because you're so entrenched in what you've been doing and how you've been doing it. You may need for the plane to carry you thousands upon thousands of miles over the pond to a foreign country to be able to teach you how to ask that question to yourself and ask that question of God. And so all that to say, come on Friday night, right?
Yeah, come on Friday. And let me caveat to what you're saying. Some will say, well, I can't afford it. It's too expensive. And I'll say, yep, it is expensive, no doubt about it, but it's an investment. And I've said this to dads before. Mark, I have a 6, a 5, and a 2-year-old. There's no way I could possibly or feasibly do it. And I said, pray about it because it's an investment, and you'll have the opportunity when you return to pour into your children.
Right.
I've looked in that empty tomb, and Jesus' body wasn't there. Mm-hmm. And the children will say, my daddy went to Israel. He sailed on the Sea of Galilee. That was the body of water that Jesus walked on. He told me and described it. And so, guys, if financially you don't think you can pull it off, sacrifice. Talk to friends. Talk to family. Say, hey, this is my future Christmas present or whatever. Mm. Raise those funds because it'll be an investment in your children or your grandchildren. You can then say, I've been there. I've seen it. I've walked the terrain. So it's no longer this fable or Sunday school lesson that the children learn. They can say, my mommy, my daddy went there. They experienced the land. They walked where Jesus walked. And you can pour into them, and you validate. You become truth to your children oftentimes because you can say, I've been there, I've seen that. I read the scriptures where Jesus spoke, you know, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. Mm-hmm. And so it's an investment. Yes, there's a price to pay. There's sacrifices right. that would need to be made. But trust me, it'll be a life-changing experience for you and helpful for your friends, family, for many pastors mm-hmm. that have gone. I've heard many members of congregations say, ever since my pastor went on a trip to Israel and returned, you can see him pause and he can picture in his mind the terrain or what it looked like.
Right.
And when he talks about it, he shares with more power and seemingly authority because he's mm-hmm. been there.
Well, and you really do have to see. You really do have to see and get a feel for the land, for the terrain, for the culture, to really understand it, to really wrap your head around it. I mean, you come back and you don't read the Bible the same, and you don't read the Bible the same because you've seen the places. So no longer is your imagination kind of trying to conjure up what these things look like. Now all of a sudden you see them and you go, wait a second, that's not flat, that's not this, that's not that. Now suddenly you go, wow. And when you're there and you learn some of the customs and the practices, you understand. So I taught this past Sunday on John chapter 7, and where Jesus stands up at the Feast of Sukkot. And he says, you know, it says on the last and great day, Jesus stood up. And this is when he says, I am the living water. Now, what's interesting about that, you know, that in itself, you know, as a Christian, we read that and we go, wow, Jesus is the water that satiates our and satisfies us, our thirst and desire for everything else. Yeah, that's powerful. That's really powerful. But what's more powerful is to know that the Feast of Sukkot was the feast that celebrated the Israelites' time in the wilderness. Mm-hmm. Now, why is that important? Because the Israelites were supposed to go into the Promised Land, but they were rebellious. And so then they started to take a detour in a big kind of where you just go around the block a bunch of times. They did that in the wilderness because they needed to learn how to trust God.
Yeah, so 40 years.
40 years. So for 40 years, the Feast of Tabernacles is this idea. They celebrate the reminder that they needed to learn how to trust God. Now, also the Feast of Tabernacles comes at the end of the harvest, which is we trusted God for our provision and he did provide. So the Feast of Tabernacles is all about trusting God. And one of the elements that happens in that feast is this kind of messianic look into the future from Ezekiel and from Isaiah that the Lord will pour out his salvation upon the land, that the Lord will come and he will bring salvation to the people. Now, what's even more powerful, so you got that as kind of background. What's even more powerful is that this feast comes right after Yom Kippur, which was the 10 days of repentance, and the end of the Torah Bible reading for the year. So the people who are standing in the middle of Jesus standing up and making this proclamation have repented of all their sins, unburdened themselves of all the baggage that they have before God, have finished reading the Word, so they have no excuse to not know all the promises of God because they spent the year just now finishing reading all the promises of God, Isaiah, Ezekiel, and all the other places in the Bible. And so these people are purposely, divinely positioned to receive this word from Jesus, to be able to say, he is the Messiah. Hmm. He is the one that's to come. And they're celebrating trusting God. And in this moment, they need to trust God that He is offering them that promised salvation. Mm. And so when you learn all that stuff, when you're in Israel and you learn all these kind of pieces and you begin to put them together, you go, wait a second. It was powerful that Jesus stood up and said that. But given where and when and how He did it, adds even more power because it shows, you know, it shows that when God says He is using all things for His glory, He means it. He's using feasts and festivals, the end of Bible reading, repentance. He's using processions that go to the Pool of Siloam. He's using tradition. He's using all these things for His glory to position a people so that they can come to salvation. And just think about your salvation story. How much of your salvation story was God putting all kinds of pieces in place in order for you to be in the perfect position to receive His salvation? And so it's the same kind of thing. So when you know all that, then you go, wait a second, what about me? Now, my friend, we are in the territory of why are you here? You liked that, didn't you? That was good, wasn't
it? Tied it all together. This Friday night, 6:45, come to the Great News Radio Center here at Lincoln Square, and let's have a fun evening of it, a time of learning, of growing, and entertaining the idea that God may, in fact, be calling you to join us in October, October 3rd through the 13th, a 10-day pilgrimage to the Holy Land. You can find out more at our website, greatnewsradio.org. greatnewsradio.org. You'll see a posting, and then there's also an Israel Trips link. Both have information and how to learn more about this Friday and upcoming pilgrimages to the Holy Land.
Yeah, and I want to address something you said that I think is really interesting. As you said, you know, you were talking about the finances and all that. One of the reasons I would say that people should come on Friday night is also because there'll be some people here who went on past trips. Mm. And there are many, many testimonies of people that I've heard over the years who say, I didn't have enough money. I didn't know how I was going to go. And God opened doors. Somebody offered me to give me some money so I could go because they knew it was such a passion of mine. I received a check. You know what? I think there was one person who told me one time, they said, yeah, you know, some guy was pulling out in the parking lot and hit my car. And it was just a dent, and it wasn't a big deal to me, but the insurance company gave me the right amount of money to go to Israel. You know, and so, I mean, there's all these crazy testimonies about how God opened doors for people to go. And maybe, you know, you just got a lot of excuses as to why you can't go, and most of them are financial. You may come on Friday night and find out that there are people who had the same kinds of excuses, and God opened doors in amazing and miraculous ways.
Yeah.
And so maybe you just need that to come and be reminded that God does those things and that you can actually, look, if you pray about it and you really seek God and God says, no, I just don't think it's the time, you'll know that.
Yeah.
But you may be surprised in like a really good way that God wants you to do it. You just don't know.
Yeah, there was one example where two young adults, around 18, 17 to 19, I think, but they had driver's ed class. It was only the six-week course that they had to take this in order to get their driver's license, and they both said there's no possible way we could get out of this. The instructor wouldn't allow that, and I can't remember. I think I talked with the instructor, and they also petitioned him. He said, sure, if you're going to Israel, no problem. There was another occasion where a teacher said, well, that's one of the first or second week of school. There's no way. And I said, have you talked to the principal? Did you present that you wanted to go to Israel? She says, well, no, because there's just no way they'd let me off. I said, why don't you ask? This person asked, and sure enough, they said, oh, because it's Israel and so forth, go ahead, we'll make arrangements, and on and on. So I think one person said there's no possible way, and then she got this position helping somebody, being a caretaker, and it was like match the trip costs, and so God will provide a way if you're supposed to go.
Yeah, and from a personal aspect, my son, he really wants to go. You know, he's 12, and he's like, Dad, I really just think I'd like to go, And I told him, I said, well, here's the deal. This is how I operate. I'm like, if you're going to go, I want you to have skin in the game. And so I said, you know, this is how much the trip is. It's $34.99. I said, you have to raise half the money yourself. Dad, how will I ever mow that many lawns? How will I ever do that? I said, well, you know what? I said, you're going to have to put your hands to it, and you're going to have to put your prayers to it. And you're going to have to see. And if you can't, then you don't. But if you do, then you will. And so even for my own son, I'm like, you know, if God wants you to go, you'll go. But listen, there is no hill that is too impossible for God to bring you up. And the only thing, the unfortunate thing is we stand at the bottom of those hills and we go, there's no way.
Yeah, because we're looking up.
Right. And so isn't it funny that in so many places where we go, there's no way, that we have a Savior who says, I am the way.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Or how about this one?
Yeah, Jesus says, did you call?
Yeah.
You're talking about the way.
Yeah. Well, what's the old joke? What's the old joke when the Israelites stood and they cried out, there's no way, and David said, Yahweh. And so, you know, I really do think that, and I really do have faith that God opens doors. Before I went on the first Israel trip, I prayed about going to Israel, gosh, for how many years? It was a lot of years. You know, and I was really blessed to go to Israel one time, and I was like, wow, I'll probably never go back again. And now I've been like five times.
Yeah.
You know, and so God makes a way, and I'm like you. Every time I get done, I go like, this was the last one.
Right, right.
This was the last one. And then, you know,
I'm stirring of.
Yeah, well, I'm like, no, that was the last one. No way. And, you know, I was like, Yahweh. And then we end up back over there. All of a sudden, we're eating falafel and, you know.
Yeah. Well, people would ask, what's the plans for next year or whenever? And I said, actually, there's no plans whatsoever. I said the tendency has always been that the trip we're on is the last trip unless God stirs. You know, I don't need to go again. I mean, I've experienced a lot, but I do love going because I see the transformational work that God does in people's lives, and that motivates me and energizes me, and I can pour in energy and effort and all the hard work behind the scenes to make it happen because I know what God will do. But there's no future plans, you know. But there has been a tendency. We get back. We pray about it. There's a stirring in your heart or my heart. Or circumstances start presenting themselves where there's a clear theme or a directive or something that it overshadows us just like, oh, gosh, I don't know if I have the energy to do it again.
Yeah.
It just seems like God compels us. And that happened early on. It surprised both of us that as we returned the last time, even though it was a hard trip because of so many people and the challenges, it was a good trip, but we both, within a few weeks, already started thinking, might God be leading us again? And when you came up with a theme, and, you know, I just looked, well, let's try October. It's warmer. It'd be a nice time of year, but tourism is really intense over there now, and it's hard to get good flight rates and hotel rates and everything, and, you know, all the prices have gone up, but I just felt like October would be a good time, and then pieces fell together, and this Friday we'll talk a little more about it. So if you have an inkling to learn more or just come and have fellowship, I know some people that were on past trips just want to come. They can't go in October, but they want to learn and be a part of things. It's this Friday. No need to RSVP. Just show up 6:45 here at the Great News Radio Center. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffo with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you. Have a great day and night.